All right. Good morning, everyone. It's time for our AM Minnesota program. I have in studio here our police chief, and he's armed to the gills. So
slightly.
I got to be on my very best behavior. Well, you got your taser and your gun.
Well, that's true. I wear the full belt, you know. even though I'm the chief, I'm still a police officer. So you never know when duty calls.
Do you get to go out on many calls?
You know, I'll help out every once in a while. You know, I don't. I'm not required to respond, but, you know, if we're short-staffed or I just happen to be out and about and there's a call nearby, I'll certainly stop in and help. But there's also that issue of when you're the chief and you show up on a call, it kind of disrupts the normal ebb and flow of everything. So I try to avoid that when I can. But
you probably miss it a little bit, though, right?
What's that? Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm still a cop at heart. You know, it's like maybe, you know, as you get a little older and you've been doing it for a while, like, it's kind of like the retriever still wants to go out there and get the bird, but, you know, not quite the same. So I wear a uniform. I like to, because I like to remind people I am a police officer, but also I think it sends a good message to your officers as well. And they know I'll jump out on a call and help out, and I'm not above doing the, you know, directing traffic at a crash or other things. And that's just the way I am. And, you know, we don't have 30 cops on the street. So sometimes they get busy and they need a little help. And all the supervisors at Faribault PD are like that. All our investigators are like that. The guys that are, you know, kind of desk detectives, they still jump out on calls and help out. So it's really a mindset within the department. One of the things that I think that makes our culture within the department a little bit different. And everybody's willing to help out. And if that means doing something that's not their normal day to day, they do. And so why wouldn't I do the same? But I did have to do one thing today. I had to change from long sleeves to short sleeves because, 70 degrees, it gets a little warm out there. So that was the most complicated thing of my morning so far.
Pleasurable, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's trying to figure out what you're going to wear, you know. Well, I think I will go to short sleeves, so.
Next week is Winter Hazard Awareness Week in Minnesota.
Yeah, and it won't be long before maybe late next week, some of the things I was looking at that, we'll have a reminder of how to drive in winter weather, and the cars will be piling up on 35, especially, through the curves and up near the Scott County line. You know, we hear it all. So it's coming. It's coming, folks.
I know our former sheriff, Troy Dunn, used to say he hated going on calls up on the interstate because people are crazy driving down the
interstate. Yeah, it's just the speed. People don't realize the road conditions change. You have a lot of semis. And, it's been a couple of milder winters, at least as far as snow. I know last year was pretty cold. For a few months there, but we didn't have the snow. I remember 3 years ago, there were some days where there were six trucks jackknifed on the interstate just through Faribault. So it can be a mess, and it's coming, you know, and people will remember. This is Minnesota after all, but it takes a little bit. So
just need to remember to slow down, even not just when it's snowing either.
Right, and it's really what... If I could write a book on busy days with a lot of crashes, they are days like today that are sunny and warm and a Friday and you're headed to the weekend and people aren't thinking about the road. Their mind is elsewhere. We actually get a lot of crashes on sunny, warm, mild days headed into the weekend. So I would not be surprised if we have a few crashes later today. And then also those first snow days, especially when you have falling temperatures and people aren't, you know, it may have rained in the morning and then temperature starts to fall and things change quickly with black ice and other things. So if I could write a book about 2 days to really pay attention when you're driving, it's the changing weather days with cooler temperatures and then days like today. So we'll see. Let's hope not. But Yeah, people just need to pay attention. That's the theme, regardless of the weather. And, you know, when we have the big winter storm warnings and 6 to 12 inches of snow and travel advisories, we don't really have a lot of crashes. We might have cars that get stuck, traffic hazards, or cars that slip off the road. But people generally drive really, really well in those circumstances. So
they have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
They're kind of forced to. As you say, it's all about a mental focus thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And that's, it's really the distractions that cause the issues. It's like I've said for years, no one intends to ever get in a car crash. But people do every day. Why? Because there's a momentary distraction. They look down. They don't pay attention to the light. They are thinking about something else. And that's how crashes happen. No one ever intends it to happen. No one ever intends to be hurt. No one ever intends to die in a car crash. But that happens. And most, if not all, crashes are preventable.
And most definitely. Dusty will be with us on Monday, and I'm sure we'll talk a bit about winter weather awareness week, winter hazard awareness week.
Mm-hmm.
Winter weather hazard awareness. I can't remember how it goes, but it's something.
Regardless,
like
that. We get it. Yep. Cold, snow, ice, sleet, freezing rain.
Now, before we hit the airwaves, I know you were telling me that you were at Viaduct Park last night.
I was. Yeah, they had the ribbon cutting yesterday, kind of evening, and really had a really nice crowd down there. And
it's a nice facility. Very nice. I love the fire pit.
It's going to be really great once the ice surface gets put in, and then they're going to plant grass and landscaping this spring, obviously, and the splash pad will be up and running next summer. But it's going to create a really nice setting along the viaduct. I can imagine it'd be a great place to have a little concert or other things.
Well, I'm sure they'll do some of that.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't completely forget about Central Park. But
no, I think there's a natural link. And you know, we have Winterfest coming up. I think we should probably talk about that a little bit, because there's going to be some changes this year than what people are normally used to.
The parade route is reversed.
Yep, we've reversed the parade route. In fact, after we talked this morning, I've got to head over to the chamber to have our final Winterfest planning meeting. And we are doing some different things. And like you mentioned, the parade route's different, because instead of starting down by Buckham Library and
coming north,
we're going to actually start kind of Central Park and go south. So the natural ending will be toward Viaduct Park. And that'll draw people down to the park afterwards, because the order is reversed as well. Because if you remember the last few years, fireworks have preceded the parade. Well, now they're going to be after the parade. And they're going to, so the hope is that folks will come down to the parade, enjoy it, and then take a walk down to Viaduct Park and watch the fireworks. And they'll have, you know, the chamber's planning for music and other things down there. So really, that's what the park's for. To draw people to downtown and then have a gathering place for the community afterwards. And I think Winterfest this year will be the first real test of that, which will kind of give people a sneak preview of what the future could be. Because really, now imagine next year, right? Ice sheet will be open. You have the parade. Families can come down. Hopefully they come downtown, have some dinner, do some shopping, watch a parade, go to the park, you know, enjoy some, have the kids burn off some energy before bed. You know,
so are they going to shoot the fireworks on the east side of the river, or how does that going to work?
They are, they'll be down in that general facility, at least this year. So there's been some talk in the future years of maybe, because you'll have to ask Dusty, because the fireworks are kind of regulated. The height that they can go are regulated by where they're located near structures. And so normally what they do is what they call a low show. So the fireworks don't go as high as possible, like they do in the summer when we shoot them at Alexander Park, North South Alexander. because there's not as much structures around. But when you shoot them downtown, you have to be a little bit, they can't go as high because you don't want them to land on buildings. There has to be a bigger buffer zone. And Dusty will hopefully can explain this a lot better than the police chief can. but there's talk now with, you know, Viaduct Park is a gathering spot. Well, then maybe the fireworks are located in Tipi Tonka and they're higher. But that's to be determined. You know, I'll let the fire chief determine that. So
yeah. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about staffing and that sort of thing when AM Minnesota continues. But we need to get our Linder Market Report and analysis.
AM Minnesota on the Mighty 920 KDHL.
Good morning. It's time for the market update here on the Linder Farm Network. And this Friday morning, joining us, Christy Van On, Van On & Company, Alexandria. Ahead of that 11 a.m. report, fairly quiet for corn and beans right now. Christy, your thoughts on how we're looking here this morning with these markets?
Yeah, when you say quiet, I just don't know if it's going to stay quiet once we get this crop report. So enjoy it while we have it. This is such a big report. We have not had one since the September WASDE. We got September quarterly grain stocks. We have to remember that quarterly grain stocks was bearish, showed larger carryout levels for old crop. That is going to have to be factored in. We need to use that number. That's a firm number from the end of September. And so we'll use that number, and then it's all up to really yield from there. And what do we see happening with the government shutdown? I'm worried that these are going to be just regurgitated numbers and we're not going to see accuracy out of this, but it's a report nonetheless. Also, at the same time of getting a WASDE crop report, we are going to get all of the private estimate or the private sales that should have been released at 8 a.m. while the government was shut down every day. And so it's just going to be a lot of information coming at us at one point in time and just kind of that first set of information we've been able to see. So enjoy the quiet, because I do feel like at 11 o'clock, this market could get a little bit moving as soon as we see those numbers.
Meanwhile, livestock futures, look, we could see some volatility throughout the day in those markets as well. You were saying we already have seen some volatility.
Yeah, you know, you're well off of the lows for the day when you look at it for feeder cattle and live cattle. So at one point you had deferred feeder cattle down massively, and now, you know, you're $9 off that low for the day already. And so I just think that this market is trying to decide, you know, how important is this sterile fly facility being open in Mexico? Does that mean the border is going to be open soon? And I just think the market's all over the place. So start off a lot lower, working our way back higher. It brought the hog market with it as well. I think one key thing for the hog markets moving forward is once we start to see exports again, that's going to be huge for this hog market to be able to get that information. But the cattle coming back has definitely been supportive to the hog markets as well.
Thank you, Christy. Christy Van On, Van On & Company, Alexandria. And Chicago Board of Trade, December corn now 440 and three quarters, down three quarters of a cent. March is at 455 and a quarter, down a quarter of a cent. July up a quarter of a cent. November soybeans up two and a quarter. January 1147 and a quarter, up a quarter of a cent. March 1157 and a quarter, up a half. July 1172 and three quarters, unchanged. And December soybean meal up 30. December soybean oil up 33. December Chicago wheat up three. And Minneapolis December up two and a half. Live cattle, December 2, 1910, up 10. February, up 45. Feeder cattle, November, down 7. January, down 10. December lean hogs, 79, up 92. February, 79, 72, up 87. And the Dow Industrial Average is down 371. This is the Linder Farm Network.
Hi, it's Andrew Hoiberg from Calcium Products. SO4 pelletized gypsum is the superior sulfur source that delivers the right amount of sulfur, perfectly matching plant needs for yield maximizing plant growth. SO4 consistently performs in trials, providing up to a 13 bushel increase on corn. Ask your agronomist about applying SO4 pelletized gypsum and learn more at calciumproducts.com.
People's Company is having a live auction selling 80-plus acres of prime farmland in Faribault County, just south of Walters. There is approximately 78 tillable acres with a CPI of 86.1. The sale is being held at the Albert Lee American Legion on December 2nd at 10 a.m. For more details, call Tim Gangle at 507-254-1976 or go to peoplescompany.com. Stay tuned for the latest in farm news and markets throughout the day right here on the Linder Farm Network.
Again, we have our police chief for the city of Faribault, John Sherwin, in studio. Always enjoy visiting with John. And I know during the Winterfest event, which refresh my memory on the date of the Winterfest.
It is the first weekend in December, December 6th,
okay.
Saturday.
And you are going to be keeping vehicles off Central Avenue.
Yeah, that'll be a change that will be different this year. And I wanted to mention so people kind of get the word out, but we are going to restrict parking along the entire length of Central on the parade route. It'll be posted no parking the day before, starting at 4 p.m. on that Saturday, December 6th. So the plan is if vehicles are left on Central, we will tow them. The signs will say that. No parking after 4 p.m. or 3:30 p.m. Vehicles will be towed. And we're doing that for safety reasons, because anyone who's been to the Winterfest Parade in recent years knows that when you have vehicles parked on either side of Central, that really narrows the traffic lane. And we have some big vehicles that that are pulling the parade floats. We have fire trucks in the parade. And even driving my own SUV police vehicle, it's a narrow route, and I've seen kids that kind of run out hoping to try and get candy or other things, and really we've had some close calls in recent years, and that would just be a tragedy. So we made the decision, and I made the recommendation that Central be posted for no parking during the time of the parade, and we're going to enforce that. So we'll be out there about 3:30, 4 o'clock the day of the parade, and if vehicles are there, we may be towing them. We'll obviously try to track down owners, but we may just have to tow. And that'll cost people a little bit of money, and they'll get a parking ticket because it's a restricted parking area. But it's all in the name of safety. And so some folks will need to plan ahead, because there's plenty of parking on side streets and in the city parking lots and other places, but you will not be able to park on Central. And so I know some people will sit in the back of their vehicles or flip the tailgate down and sit and watch the parade go by. But we're not going to allow that this year. We want everybody to be back toward the sidewalk just to give that extra buffer for the vehicles. It's dark. There's a lot of flashing lights. It'd be very easy for an accident to happen. And that would be highly detrimental to the future of the parade. So this year's a change. It'll be different. We don't want to tow vehicles. No one's making money on this. It's really done for safety. So,
well, that's good. I'm glad you guys thought about people's safety. Now, you guys are at full strength.
Well, we're close. We've got a number of officers that have finished training or in training, and we have a few job offers out there to bring in people. So hopefully by the beginning of the year, we'll be at full strength of our police department, and that'll be the first time. And well, it precedes my time here on the department. So we're talking within 4 years or so that we've had full strength, and we've really been able to hire some quality people, both a mix of young and experienced officers that have come on in the last year and a half, and really pleased with the quality of candidates we're getting now, which is a huge change compared to a few years ago.
I was just going to say, a few years ago, you were, well, after the George Floyd happenings, it was hard to find people.
Yeah, for sure. And we've really, I think a lot of that is the department has a really good reputation. We have the support of our elected officials, support of the city administrator kind of adjusting wages to make us far more competitive with the Twin Cities. And really that's what it takes. You know, we lost a lot of officers that could essentially go to a suburb, be less busy, and make an extra $15,000 to $20,000 a year for doing the same job. So that makes it really hard to keep quality candidates when that's your competition. And now our wages are certainly right there with the competitive nature.
Did you say less busy?
Well, yeah, if you go to a relaxed suburb with a low crime rate and so there are suburbs that aren't very busy, certainly less busy than our officers, and their pay, a few years ago, they paid a lot more money, $5-6 more an hour, which when you think about that translates to $10,000 to $15,000 more per year to do the same job and have less work. So I'm appreciative of the fact that we've got elected officials that have recognized that, and they've worked hard to find compromise and contract negotiations and other things, and it makes it easier to retain folks, and it makes it easier to attract quality candidates as well. So,
and I suppose it's like anything else, you kind of want people to stay here a while and bring continuity.
The best candidates are people that are here, that are local to the area, that you can attract and keep and retain, that have family and local ties. And a lot of our officers do. You know, we're hiring local people and that care about the community and that want to be here. And it helps that we're paying wages that are competitive with the suburbs. So,
and I know there is at one time, and I think this was under your predecessor, they were hoping to get some Somalian-speaking and some Hispanic-speaking mm-hmm. officers. Do we have that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We've hired a number of – we have two Somali officers who speak Somali. There are major cities in Minnesota that do not have two Somali officers. And we're not sacrificing quality for just to say that we have diversity. These candidates, one young man who has been on for about a year, he grew up in Faribault. He's well-respected within the high school when he attended there. He wants to be here. And the other candidate was one that we, if you remember, I've talked about the grant program that we had, the IC Poet grant, where we were able to hire someone, pay them to go to school, and bring them on as an officer. And she has an MBA, has a master's degree in business. She owned her own, owns her own side business. Just a real smart young lady who is driven, and she just completed her training, and she's on her own now on the street. So, I mean, we are attracting quality candidates, and it's a great thing to see. We don't have to go out and recruit diversity because it wants to work. We have diverse candidates who want to work here. So,
well, it makes sense. I think if I remember right, that we have the second highest Somali population in Minnesota.
Maybe per capita. I'm not sure about in general, but I wouldn't say I know that for sure. But certainly we have a thriving Somali community, and the department, we want to reflect our community, and we have a great relationship with the leaders at the local mosque. And, I think that reflects in the candidates we're attracting and our ability to communicate with our citizens.
This week we had a scam happen. I can't remember. It's a county that starts with a B. I can't remember if it's Becker or Beltrami County. One of those.
Yeah.
Had a scam alert where somebody's calling and pretending to be a deputy and mm-hmm. telling the people that they call that there has been a warrant issued for them.
Sure, and that's a common scam. Yep.
Have we had that around here?
Or? I'm sure we have. I don't know of any reports recently, but I mean that's been going on for, boy, I would say over a decade in various forms, one or another. You know, someone will call and say you have a warrant. I've had calls on my phone with someone telling me they work at wherever and that I have a warrant. And I'm like, oh, really? Do I? Okay, great. You know, I mean, they don't know. They're trying.
You don't tell them that you're the police chief?
Generally, no. But They'll get it really quick and hang up, you know. But it's a common scam. We don't call people when they have a warrant. We certainly don't tell them to pay any money if we call them and tell them they have a warrant. So no one will ask you for money. Or if you're being asked for money over the phone, it's a scam.
Period.
Period. If you're being asked to go to a local store and purchase a gift card and tell them the gift card numbers, it's a scam. If you're being told to go to a Bitcoin ATM and to purchase Bitcoin, it's a scam. I can't emphasize that enough, but the reason why scammers are successful is because they're convincing. And people have a natural ability to trust what they hear, right? When someone's convincing, but it's a scam. Don't do it. If you're ever in doubt, come down to the police department. Make a phone call. Ask a relative. Google. Use your phone, your computer. Google what someone's telling you and then see if that comes up as a common scam. And they do. They do. They're all... You can look things up online. If you're trying to sell something on Facebook or Craigslist or one of the other online marketplaces, there are often people that will scam you. If you're selling a car and somebody sends you a message that they will pay full price and they haven't even seen the car, you're probably being scammed. So
I take it you've had that one a few times too.
I've tried to sell things online and you know, when someone is offering when someone has a sense of urgency and they're offering you money sight unseen, it's a scam. You know, but yeah, no, I'm not aware of, you know, any local similar reports of late, but I wouldn't be surprised if someone in the community has gotten a phone call or something because it, you know, they're using random phone number generators and operating from call centers overseas. These are organized efforts targeting people. There's also the scam, and I don't know if you've heard of this one, but this was kind of one of the first kind of scams of that nature related to an arrest or something where someone will call and they'll say, if someone were to answer, they would say, Grandma? And then Grandma would say, Sean? You know, they would think, is this my grandkid? Then the story is, I was hunting in Canada and I've been arrested. And if I don't pay $500, I'm going to be in jail in Canada. You need to transfer money. And it's a scam because they think it's their grandkid, but it's really someone posing, you know. So that scam happens quite a bit, targeting generally elderly folks or folks more seasoned in life who may have a grandkid. So
and are more trusting.
And more trusting. But, you know, if you have a grandkid that you don't see that frequently and you may kind of know their voice but not, and, you know, that you pick up the phone and they say, Grandma, and you say, oh, Sean, what's wrong? Or John or Gordy, what's wrong? Oh, yeah, Grandma, it's Gordy. I'm in, you know, then they play along with it, so it's very convincing. So I just encourage people, if anyone's asking for money online or over the phone, it's a scam.
They're good actors.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's the bottom line.
The bottom line.
So. Well, I sure appreciate your stopping in, Chief.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hope you have a good weekend. Are you a deer hunter?
I am not. I'm still actually, I've still hit the water. I kind of fish for muskies. So I've got a few more weeks than that. And just heard they pulled the docks locally. So I guess we'll see how it goes. But I plan to get out at least one more time. So
you had some lunkers?
I did all right this year. Yeah, did all right this year.
Well, there's a lot of that around here.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So
absolutely.
We'll plan to get out one more time at least. Hopefully not today, though, even though we've got a gorgeous day.
Have a great day, everyone.